Canto 9, Chapter 14. King Puru Rava enchanted by Urvashi. Sri Shuka said, "Hear now then, O king, after the stories about the dynasty of the sun god, about the moon dynasty, for to listen to the sanctifying descriptions of the dynasty of kings headed by Ayla, Puru Rava, is a glorious thing. Datu, the original element or Lord Brahma, appeared on the lotus that was produced from the navel of Vishnu, he with the thousands of heads. Datu had a son called Atri, who had the same qualities as his father. From Atri's tears of jubilation, a son called Soma was born, who was an embodiment of the nectar of immortality. He was by Brahma appointed as the supreme authority over the scholars, the medicinal herbs, and the luminaries. After he had conquered the three worlds, he performed a Rajasuya sacrifice and kidnapped in his arrogance with force Tara, the wife of Brihaspati. Despite a repeated request of the spiritual master of the godly souls, he, in his conceit, did not release her, as a consequence of which a conflict arose between the Suras and the Danavas. Because of Shukra's enmity towards Brihaspati, he, together with the Asuras, chose the side of the moon god. Shiva, though, took, together with the host of ghosts following him, out of affection for the side of Brihaspati, the son of the spiritual teacher Angira, one of the seven sages. The great Indra, followed by all the different demigods, joined the spiritual master Brihaspati. The fight that ensued, just because of Tara, Brihaspati's wife, brought great destruction over the Suras and Asuras. When the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, was fully informed about this by Angira, he severely chastised Soma and delivered Tara unto her husband, who discovered that she was pregnant. Brihaspati said to her, "You foolish woman, deliver now. Deliver immediately from that womb that was my domain. Despite having been impregnated by another man, I shall not burn you to ashes, unfaithful as you are, because you were a woman in want of a child." Tara, deeply ashamed, delivered a child that had a golden effulgence. That made Brihaspati and Soma both desire the child. "It is mine, not yours," so they exclaimed, fighting over the child. The sages and the gods asked Tara questions, but she, in her embarrassment, could not say a thing. The child got angry and said to its mother, "Why all this shame? Why are you not saying anything? Tell me immediately, O unchaste lady, what you have done wrong." Lord Brahma took her separate, put her at ease, and asked her about the details, upon which she admitted, hesitantly, "This child belongs to Soma." Soma then immediately took charge of it. "O king, when the child, because of its profound intelligence, received from Lord Brahma the name Buddha, the god of the moon was in great jubilation that he had gotten such a son. As I said before, from his, Buddha's, loins, Puru Rava was born from the womb of Ila. When Urvashi, in Indra's court, heard Narada speak about Puru Rava's beauty, qualities, magnanimity, behavior, wealth, and power, the Devi was struck by the arrows of Cupid and approached him. Because of the curse of Mitra and Varuna, the woman had descended to the human world. Seeing there that the best of all men was as beautiful as Cupid, she approached him self-controlled. As soon as he, the king, saw the divine woman, he with goosebumps addressed her enthused with sweet words and bright eyes. The honorable king said, 'Be welcome, O supreme beauty. Please be seated. What can I do for you? Keep me company and share my bed for many, many years.' Urvashi said, What woman would not be attracted by the sight and thought of you, O beautiful man, and desist from enjoying your chest in intimate love? These two lambs, O king, have fallen and need your protection, O honorable host. In the company of a superior husband, so one says, a woman may enjoy in love. O hero of mine, that what is prepared with ghee shall be my food, and I do not want to see you naked at any other time than during intercourse. That is settled then, so promised the great soul. Just look at your beauty and poise. No one on earth is as attractive as you are. Who can withstand a goddess like you, who personally has descended among the human beings? He, the best among the human beings, enjoyed, in the most exquisite places and pleasure gardens like Chaitrarata, with her whatever there was to enjoy to his desire. Making love with the goddess, he enjoyed it for many nights and days to be with her and smell the stimulating lotus-saffron fragrance of her face. Indra, not seeing Urvashi around, told the singers of heaven, "Without Urvashi my abode is not as beautiful." Thus they, in the dead of night, assembled in the dark to steal away the two lambs that Urvashi, as a wife, had entrusted to the king. When she heard the two cry that she treated like her sons as they were led away, she said, "My life is stolen away by this bad husband who considers himself a hero but is not a real man. Confiding in him who during the day appears to be a man but at night fearfully keeps himself silent as a woman, thieves have stolen away my two sons." Pierced by the arrows of her words, he, like an elephant fired up, angrily in the dark, took up a sword and went after them, without putting his clothes on. After they, the Gandharvas, gave up the lamps, they lit up the place with a light as bright as lightning. Urvashi thus could see her husband returning naked with the two lamps in his hands, and thus she left him. Puru Rava, not seeing his wife in bed any longer, got very sad. Being too much attached to her, he got distraught and, lamenting, began to roam the earth looking for her. He spotted Urvashi in Kurukshetra, a place of pilgrimage at the Sarasvati, together with five companions. Happy and smiling all over, Pura Rava addressed her with sweet words. "Ah, my wife, do not leave. Stay, O cruel one. You should not have given up on me because I failed to make you happy thus far. Let us talk a little. This good body of mine, led far, far away from home by you, will drop dead on the spot, O Devi, and the foxes and vultures will eat it, if it is not worthy of your grace." Urvashi said, "You are a man, do not adhere to death. Do not let these foxes of the senses eat you up. You cannot always count on the friendship of women. They can be like wolves in matters of the heart. Beware of them. Women are merciless when men forsake their duty. They are cunning, hard to handle, do whatever pleases them and put you, as a faithful husband and brother, down for the smallest reason," so one says. "They establish false hopes in the one unsuspecting, run away from their well-wishers, always desire for newer and newer things, are easily allured, and are real captains of independence if they have to. At the end of every year, your good self may count on one night only in order to make love with me, my husband, so that you, one after the other, will have children in this world, my dear." Seeing that Urvashi was pregnant, he returned to his palace. At the end of the year, he then, at that very spot at Kurukshetra, saw Urvashi again, who had become the mother of a hero. Obtaining her association, he, delighting in her company, in great jubilation reunited with her. After the night had passed, Urvashi said to the poor-hearted fellow, who was afflicted by the thought of being separated from her, "Go and take shelter of the singers of heaven, the Gandharvas. When you satisfy them with prayers, they will bring me to you." His Agnishtali firepot, O king, then gave him the idea that Urvashi was really walking with him through the forest. After he returned from the forest and had given up the firepot, he at home began to meditate the entire night. During that time, Treta Yuga was about to begin, and before his mind's eye, the three Trikanda principles of the Vedas were revealed of upasana, sacrifice, song and prayer, karma, fruit of labor, and jnana, spiritual knowledge. Going to where he had left his fire pot, he discovered that at that spot, an ashwatha had sprouted from the inside of a shami tree. He used the wood to make two sticks for creating fire, whereupon he, the master of the kingdom, with mantras, in his desire to be with Urvashi, meditated on her as the lower stick, with himself as the upper one, and that what was between them as the child he had begotten. From the friction, a fire was born that, as the son of the king, together with the three-letter combination A, U and M, the pranava, in its three forms, stood for the complete of the Vedic practice. He, who wanted to be with Urvashi, thus worshipped the controller of the sacrifices, the supreme personality of Godhead beyond the senses, who is the Lord, the reservoir of all demigods. Formerly, during Satya Yuga, all verbal expressions were covered with one mantra only, knowing the pranava of Omkara. Narayana was the only god, there was only one fire, and there was only one varna. This is how, with Pururava at the onset of Treta Yuga, the before-mentioned threefold Vedic order came about of being born by karma, upasana and jnana, O ruler of men. By simply generating the sacrificial fire as his son, the king achieved the heavenly abode of the Gandharvas.